out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Business Liaisons, Connection Matters, with your host, Treste Loving. In today's thriving organizations, it's all about staying ahead of the curve through strategies, relationships, and forward-thinking ideas. Don't be left in the cold with your business. The next hour is a must-listen. Now, here is Treste Loving.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Business Liaisons, Connection Matters. I'm your host, Treste Loving, and as always, I am totally psyched to be here with all of you today. And you're in for a special, I guess I could call special seasonal treat. It's because this is my first solo show. So I want you to buckle up and prepare for the new revolution perspective. And I bring that up, it's because that's one of the things I do in my business at Simple Innovations Business Coaching, is to offer different perspectives on things that are going on in your business so you can discover new ways of doing business. And the show is going to go just like it normally does, with the exception of Treste on diversity in the last segment. I have something else to talk to you about there. But I will definitely start the show out with my 2 minute and two second segment. And, you know, that's the brief observation of a headline or of a news story about diversity to remind CEOs and business owners that what happens outside their organization will happen inside their organization. And my two and two for today is definitely a headline. You've been hearing about it. You've been reading about it. You may have even been talking about it. But this headline is about Phil Robertson. That's right, the Duck Dynasty patriarch. And I want to talk specifically about him being the voice of pre- and post-civil rights era black people who were, as he said, godly, happy, and singing, and they weren't singing the blues. Now, all this is according to his firsthand accounts working alongside blacks during that time. So I offer these things for your consideration. First, working with and or alongside someone doesn't mean you feel the same as they do. And I'd like to offer this quote, which is one of my favorite quotes from the movie To Kill a Mockingbird. And the quote was made by Atticus Fitch, Gregory Peck, and it states, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb inside of his skin and walk around in it." And that's pretty powerful. So I want you, and I invite you to think about that as we're going through the rest of my show tonight, because you're going to get a lot of good mileage out of that quote. I also, the next thing I want to offer for your consideration is ignorance can disguise itself as knowledge until it speaks, and then there is no doubt it is ignorance. And ignorant is not a bad word, it just means you don't know. I think that's appropriate for that, what Phil Robertson was saying. Thirdly, consider the topic, then consider the source, and in some cases, just like this one, an apology would not ring true. So in other words, just let it go. And finally, I am not sure how many blacks gave Phil their proxy vote to speak for them, but I don't think it was too many of us. So that concludes my 2 and 2 segment for this evening. Hopefully you got a little humor out of that, but most importantly, I hope I gave you some different things to, you know, consider about that situation. Now, I'm going to start moving to my content, so I want you to be prepared to get totally rocked about today's show, because I'm going to be talking about my actual experiences in providing some great solutions to dealing with inclusion and fear. And fear is going to be a consistent theme throughout this, and I think you'll see why I say that. And I'm also going to be gifting 7 StratThat sessions uniquely designed by me and tailored for your organization. But first, I want to just give you a little snippet, a little background about me in this area of inclusion. I spent 26 years in the Navy, and of those 26, the last 16 years, I spent as a diversity equal opportunity officer. So that's where I got my vast experience in so many areas dealing with diversity, inclusion, and equal opportunity that I feel well-versed about almost any subject that comes in those areas. And secondly, I got a world-class education and training through the Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute, which teaches members from around the globe about diversity and equal opportunity. And that was great. I learned about myself. I grew. I expanded. And it was the most awesome training I think I've ever been through in my life. And I did actually get something out of that, obviously, because I was selected as a distinguished graduate. I graduated 2nd out of 100 students. And I also was the distinguished speaker from that class. So I was 1 out of 100 for that. And all that has helped me get to where I am today. So let's go on through the show here. In my experiences, fear is a huge hindrance to achieving total inclusion. And not only to achieving total inclusion, fear affects disciplinary actions, fear affects promotions, fear affects all kinds of things in an organization. But if you want to create an inclusive organization, you need to work out fear as leaders. And to define inclusion when we're talking about an organization, it's creating an environment where all people feel their input, knowledge, talents, and much more are wanted and will be respected. So that's what we're shooting for. And almost any plan, procedure, rule, or regulation dealing with race, ethnicity, or culture creates an almost irrational fear for leaders. So they make these what I call fearful decisions to support all R. That's another thing that I use, all R policies, such as the change to the words, and I thought this was appropriate for this time of year, changing words from Christmas tree to holiday tree and from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays. And I'm definitely going to be using that as an example throughout the rest of my show tonight, too. Because really, what happened here? To try to be more inclusive, too many leaders decided to remove the word Christmas and replace it with holiday. But just because the word Christmas was removed did not make it more inclusive. And I think that's really important for CEOs, business owners, and leaders to understand just by removing or replacing a word doesn't make the organization more inclusive. History shows us that Christmas is primarily Christian, and it actually is secular as well. The secular portion is all the decorating. People love to do that. The jazz out of shopping, the excitement that everybody feels during this time of year. And so that's how it becomes secular, but they don't have anything to do with the Christian portion of it. So to be inclusive, as I said before, just by removing and replacing the words didn't help. What needs to be the focus is keeping, respecting, and educating on others' beliefs and in their celebrations and in their holidays. So we need, or you need, as a CEO business owner, to implement other culture celebrations, other cultural celebrations, and incorporating those cultures when it is appropriate. And it's really not difficult to do. All it takes is strong commitment on a leader's part. And it's going to take some patience, but it really takes commitment. And I definitely have lived through these. And my commitment was and still is, as a diversity officer, as a diversity practitioner, is to introduce cultural celebrations to make sure it is more inclusive and that we're not excluding others. And I'll start here by case in point. These are the things I started doing in where the workplaces that I had influence over, and believe it or not, there were quite a few workplaces, and my last organization had 62,000 people globally. So what I started doing was talking about two other groups and who had major holidays and major religious celebrations. And I started off with, I think, one of the first most misunderstood celebrations is Ramadan from Islam. Now, Ramadan is the most sacred month of the Islamic calendar. And a lot of people don't know anything that goes on during Ramadan, nor why those things happen during Ramadan. So I started that program there, and I'll just give one. Case in point, in Ramadan, from sunup to sunset, there is fasting, there is no food, drink, nor sensual activities during that time. And there's a reason for that, though. And if you want to know more, you can catch up with me, and I will definitely tell you more about Ramadan. And then the menorah for Hanukkah, when I first joined the Navy, people kind of only whispered menorah. And now menorahs are just as big, huge, as you have for Christmas trees or for anything else like that. And also another big, important holiday or celebration for Jewish people is Yom Kippur. And once again, not many people know anything about it, why it's celebrated, what significance it has to Jewish people. But it's easy to find out, and the best way to do this for an entire organization is, as I said, you start incorporating those celebrations, holidays, into your work environment, just like Christmas is part of the work environment. And yes, I did say Christmas. And what was and also I just want to mention Kwanzaa for blacks. So these are all kind of new things for people who don't know anything really about any other celebration or religious type act except their own. And now it's time to stop trying to include or make an inclusive work environment by using the, or by excluding certain terms, changing certain terms. That's not the way to true inclusion. True inclusion is understanding and finding out about everyone in the work environment as far as their culture, and start learning about that in a more formal fashion. Just as you decorate a Christmas tree, you can decorate for another celebration from another group. That's what you should be shooting for. That's what CEOs and business owners need to keep in the forefront. And fear keeps that from happening, guaranteed. Fear keeps that from happening. And what I have learned is that fear, well, actually, before I get to that part of fear, what I do know to be true is this, that we don't know what we don't know. And what we don't know, we fear. So that's how fear sneaks in there. So we need to start finding out what we don't know. And it seems like, how can I do that? That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what I don't know, so how do I know to find out about it? Well, just by talking about the few things I have already, you see that you don't know a lot about other cultures and their celebrations and holidays, but you can find out. So I'm coming up to my first break already, if you can believe that. But I do want to leave you with something before I talk to you about what the next segment is going to entail. It is such a awesome gift that we are all given as human beings to be different. And we love to share about ourselves. I mean, you ask someone, well, tell me about yourself, and you need to sit down and have a cup of coffee because they're just going to talk about it because of their pride and who they are and what they are. So this is the same premise. And I'm going to tell you more about one of the programs I set up, and it talks about who we are. That's the name of the program. But I don't want to go too far, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So I want to tell you that the next segment after our first break, then I'm going to talk about a lack of confidence to manage inclusion in the workplace. And that lack of confidence is due to fear. But I'm also going to tell you how you can qualify for one of 7 Strat That sessions from me. So you don't want to miss one morsel, not even one little crumb of all this good stuff that I'm giving you tonight. So you want to stay tuned. I'll be right back.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Have you forgotten your dream? Maybe you've worked long and hard to continue working long and hard. Is this the American dream? What if there was another way? Find out by tuning into No Plan B with host William Speak. You'll have a chance to move to the next level and really enjoy life by doing what you really want to do instead of what you're doing now. We'll explain how to make residual income work for you. It's legal, safe, and a lot of fun. No Plan B can be heard live every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynor. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. This is Business Liaisons with Treste Loving. To reach the host or guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Now, back to Business Liaisons. Connection matters.
Hi, everyone. I'm back. And before we get into the heart of the content again, I want to briefly talk to you about my gift to seven of you listeners out there. And I talked a little bit about it. It's called Strat That Sessions. And they are truly valuable to your organization because they are, I do them, I design them uniquely myself, and then I tailor them for your organization. And it's a service that only I provide. And that session helps me assess your organization's distinctive global palm print. And I use the word palm print and for a specific reason when we're talking about being global. Because people always talk about what's your footprint, what's your this print, what's your that print. I use palm print because that is representing your hand, and you need to reach out your hand when you're talking about global business. They need to know that they can rely on you, that they can trust you, that you're there with them. So that's what the Strat That sessions assess. But I'm not going to tell you everything right now. I want to tell you a little bit more about how you're actually going to be able to qualify for one of the sessions and tell you a little bit more about it a bit later, because I don't want you to forget what we were talking about. And, of course, that was inclusions and how organizations could be more inclusive. So now, I told you fear is going to be a common thread throughout this, and there's a reason for that. And then I told you why before, because we don't know what we don't know, and what we don't know, we fear. And a lack of confidence has been noted, has been talked about. I've seen it. It makes it difficult to manage an inclusive work environment. It makes it difficult to start an inclusive work environment. And a question I'm often asked about this inclusive work environment is how to create inclusion and maintain good relationships with everyone. My answer, it's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. That's trying to make everybody happy. And if you're going to be inclusive, some people are going to be and feel unhappy because that's change. And we know change is difficult. So I tell people, don't worry about the good relationships you've established. What you want to do is to maintain professional relationships with everyone And that must always come first. When you're the leader, when you're the CEO, the business owner, talking about inclusion, you have to worry about maintaining professional relationships. And I shared this with coworkers, with people who worked for me, when they would ask me that question or they're upset about something that doesn't seem inclusive or seems like somebody's getting over because of, and you can fill in the blank there. And I always tell them this before we even get started, and they used to say it to me first before I even said it to them. This isn't personal. It's strictly business, and business is business. Of course, I got the first part from Michael Corleone out of The Godfather Part 2, but it is appropriate because once this, and as I said, business is business. Being and having, creating an inclusive work environment makes your organization stronger, makes your production or your services better. You can maintain and your current market and even move into different markets because of an inclusive work environment. And that is good business. So it is really good business to have an inclusive work environment. And living that statement, this isn't personal, it's strictly business, and business is business, removes a great deal of fear from having an inclusion conversation or having a disciplinary conversation or talking about a yearly evaluation conversation, a promotion conversation, whatever it is. That statement pertains to everything because you're just talking about simply dealing with business. So keep that thought in mind. And I should have told all you CEOs and business owners out there, you should be taking notes. Hopefully you can remember some things that I mentioned earlier, or you are already taking notes, which that is good. Good on you for that. So I want to, and of course, everything that I talk to you about is mainly for CEOs and business owners, but it's also for senior executives to be gathering this information and putting it in place wherever their area of influence is in an organization. Speaking of CEOs and business owners, they have to maintain and remain centered in their policies, their procedures, their plans, programs, whatever they put together has to be centered. Because once they become off-centered, then that means that something else, someone is getting less or someone is getting more. And I know how difficult it can be to maintain being centered because I had to do that. But it's real easy when you're committed to having the best work environment of any organization because that means that your organization is phenomenal. So keeping focus on that. And extremes create an divisive workplace or fuels a more divisive workplace, depending on where your organization is also. And I'm going to use, for example, once again, the Christmas tree / holiday tree. And I don't remember when that change happened, but I know I was in the Navy, and I know it affected me and my job because I was required to promote and to maintain the holiday tree, happy holidays quotes. And I thought in some ways that just didn't seem right. And once again, it did not become an inclusive environment just by saying holiday. That didn't happen. So I said, but CEOs and business owners quickly adapted that phrasing, thinking it would be more inclusive,
And really, it's easier to do it that way because you don't have to come up with much, you don't have to use much creativity to become inclusive if you just stick to what has already been adopted by other organizations. So, yes, why not use that? Well, there are some issues that that does and can bring up. And I want to talk to you just about a couple of other celebration holiday type issues and experiences I had to work through. And then I'm going to give you a couple of ways that I move through those. Another celebration and or holiday experience I dealt with was non-Christians' concerns that during the Christmas holiday season that they had excessive time off. And the people who did not celebrate Christmas seemed to have to take up the slack. Unfortunately, I did see that sometimes. And that does not create inclusion at all. So think about that. Another one was that people didn't think it was right for Muslims to have time to pray 3 times a day at work and to go to the mosque for worship on Fridays because they're getting time off. And so now people are looking at who's getting more time off than who without really examining what this means to that culture. And another one, the final one I came up with, was decorations for various holidays and celebrations. Some seem too much. Some seem not enough, and for others, it didn't exist. So those were all issues that kept coming up. And notice, that's not the world of inclusion. They're pointing out all these things that become excluded. So how many employees have expressed their issues about this change to CEOs, business owners, and other leaders in the workplace? That's not even the question that I'm concerned with. That's a CEO and business owner question they have to deal with. On the other side, what I would like to know is how do CEOs and business owners handle those types of issues? There are some responses that I've heard that are, sounds like a mommy daddy excuse or not excuse but solution. They would come back to, we have to. And they would say, why? It's like, just because we have to. And that reminds me of like a teenager asking a question like, why do I have to go to this particular function with the family? It's because you have to. But that's not really an answer for them. And so think about it. It's the same thing. What happens on the outside of the organization happens inside the organization. So as business owners and CEOs, they must see through their fear of getting the answer wrong, not really understanding how they should answer the question, and they need to be able to start researching and finding out more valid answers. And I have just the thing for CEOs and business owners to give you some more valid answers, some more appropriate answers than because we have to, because they said we had to. That's not really good enough. And I think employees deserve better than that. So I developed a model quite a few years ago when we're talking about celebrations and holidays. And my model was called, I called it, Who We Are. And that was inclusive right there because I said we, who we are. And that recognized races, ethnicities, and cultures throughout the year, and not just a specific few during certain months. And it took a little finesse for me to accomplish this, but leaders did finally agree to expand and not narrow their focus when they were thinking about being inclusive. Because inclusion You have to expand to include everyone. And they really liked it. They liked that idea. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that idea in my next segment about bringing others in, on board with their celebrations and their holidays, and actually explaining why they are relevant to that particular group and how that could be used for themselves, to look themselves in the mirror and say, well, my religion or my celebration or my holiday is important to me as well. So why would I try to deny someone else what they consider is important to them? Think about it. You know, these things are not difficult, what I'm talking about here. Once again, they're not difficult. They're not hard. It's really commitment to having a true, inclusive work environment. So CEOs and business owners, take a step back. Look at your own life and decide, you know, if this were a question for me, and if this was something that, you know, and this is something that I really wanted to do, how would I feel if someone asked questions like, well, why do you get to, or why should you get to? It shouldn't be questions like that. And I like this because when you start having true inclusiveness, you start learning about each other. And knowing each other and working better with each other creates phenomenal success. And this is why I love my life and what I'm doing with it in the area of diversity, inclusion, and equal opportunity. Because I get to facilitate human beings and have them seen as who we are and not what we are. I think sometimes labeling gets a little too, a little too much. And we worry about wearing labels, and we worry about, am I this, am I that, am I that, am I this? There's nothing wrong with those labels because I like those labels, but they can be taken to an extreme as well. And remembered, I talked about keeping centered. Nothing wrong with wearing labels that you put on yourself, but you have to keep centered and don't use labels from one extreme or to another extreme. So time went by quickly again when I get to sit here and talk myself. So I'm coming up on my next and last break. And during my last segment, though, I will provide more plans and programs for inclusion that, based on my experiences and what I went through. And I will provide the rest of the details on how you can become eligible for one of the 7 Strat That sessions. So you don't want to move, because we'll be right back.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Health costs companies a lot more than just benefits, premiums, and health plans. Think about the underlying cost with not having healthy employees in the program, investing in the future, creating wealth through health, host Susan Doherty will discuss employee wellness programs, how staying healthy affects the bottom line, and how to get your team engaged in better health as a way of life. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Business Liaisons with Treste Loving. To reach the host or guests today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Now, back to Business Liaisons. Connection matters.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back for my last segment here. And I want to go ahead and start straight into my gift for seven of you today. And here's how you can qualify for one of those StratBat sessions. And I did tell you before that the purpose of that StratBat session will help you determine your global palm print and how you can adjust it so your organization becomes phenomenally successful. And if you're already phenomenally successful, we'll help you take it up a notch. How's that? Does that sound cool or what? So what I need you to do is to email me at tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. And in the subject line, please put strat that spelled STRATTHAT 26 December, which is the date of the show, and send it to me. I'll send you back a four-question eligibility form, real easy questions to answer, and you complete that and send it back to me. And I'll contact the first seven listeners who do qualify for this StratBat session. And each session is 35 minutes long, and I can tell you that you're going to get some actionable data to use immediately. Depending on what you need to do, you might even start seeing results immediately. But I know you can put things in place as soon as we finish our session. All right. As I told you, I wanted to give you some more plans, policies, programs that will ensure your organization is the role model for inclusion. Why do you want to be the role model for inclusion? I think I said it before. Inclusion makes your work environment and your organization as a whole, shall I say, more productive. You have loyal customers. You can move into different markets. You can attract talent because people want to work for an organization where they know they'll be respected and that they'll be able to contribute and people want to listen to what they have to offer. So that's why being a role model for inclusion is really great for your organization. So CEOs and business owners, as I told you before, you want to take notes, but you really want to take notes now because I'm going to be giving you the, you know, really basic designs of the plans and policies that I came up with. And if you have questions or you need more clarification, you can always reach me at tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Here's another inclusion plan I developed. Was
had to do with the designated celebration months, and I briefly just touched on those in the last segment. And for instance, I'm talking about Women's History Month, Native American History Month. So, and I'm going to use the one that I started first, which is Women's History Month. What I did, because typically women ran Women's History Month, and that was not bad at all. But to be more inclusive, I started ensuring that men were heavily involved in Women's History Month. They helped with ideas. They helped set up events. Some of them were speakers. And they got together a lot of educational media. So everyone didn't get everything from a female's perspective about Women's History Month. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It was a well-rounded month. And it did make a huge difference for all of the monthly celebrations that happened after that. And actually, what I ended up doing is taking that same program, and I did it throughout the calendar year. So whatever celebration, special day, when someone did something spectacular from a different culture, from the different cultures, we highlighted those through education. And people really enjoyed that. They couldn't wait to see what might come up next and what they could learn. Again, being inclusive. I also implemented something I called the Situation Room. And I'm not going to say I got it from Wolf Blitzer or if I got it from the White House, but either way, the Situation Room. And that's where I helped facilitate discussions on current diversity issues. Again, what happens outside the organization happens inside the organization. And in the Situation Room, it gave us the opportunity to discuss as a group events, whatever, kind of like my two and two, in a setting that where they could be honest, open, listen, speak freely, but there was guidance in those discussions, and I was the guidance, if you will. I helped ensure that discussions didn't go too far, too, what did I say? Centered. So not too far, not to the extremes. But people really needed it. Well, actually, people were going to talk about the events anyway, guaranteed. Guaranteed people at work are talking about Phil Robertson and Duck Dynasty. Wouldn't it be better to have a guided discussion on that rather than factions in corners of the office space or discussions in their bathrooms or in the lunchroom cafeteria? People are sitting in different areas talking about it. We found out that it was much better to do that. So that definitely helped with controlling, you know, and sometimes I think actually alleviating possible discussions getting out of hand. So, and I really enjoyed it too. It was a great time. And as I said, it really proved to be highly effective in some organizations I worked with. Additionally, I created a policy around the different languages that were spoken in the workplace. This is what happened. But don't forget, this was an issue basically because of fear. And because of fear, I told you, it can make for irrational decision-making and decisions about language in the workplace definitely was to extremes. So this is what first of all, to let you know, that the complaint was, most of the complaints, if not all the complaints, were this, that if a group of people were using their native language in their area, or they were just sitting around talking, using their native language. Believe it or not, somebody thought, and really, let's face it, in an office of cubicles that may have 20 or 30 employees around, and of course you're going to hear the conversation or the chattering, but people honestly thought that they were the subject of everyone's conversation, no matter who was speaking, no matter where they were speaking. I mean, really? I think not. So that's what mainly drove some really crazy decisions about language in a workplace. The EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, stated that English is the language to be used when conducting business. In other words, it is a business necessity to use English. Now, I do agree with that to a point. Absolutely. The point where I take an exit off is in the global market. I realized that it is sometimes a business necessity to use the appropriate language in the right situation. So that might mean that employees would use their native language to facilitate accurate and quick business decisions through their native language when they're speaking to someone else. And that makes sense. And in a global market, that is truly important. Are you looking to facilitate business, or are you worrying about everyone's talking about you and only you in the workplace? Easy decision right there. So that's how I help create this language, if you will, policy in organizations. And I thought it was, well, I'm not going to say I thought, but the first time I heard that when someone said, oh, one more thing in the policy. I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. When people were on their breaks, having lunch, those types of things, not conducting business, people could use their native language if they wanted to. That's inclusion. That's what makes inclusion a reality in a workplace. That policy wasn't fear-driven. That policy was organizational success-driven. And that's what CEOs and business owners need to look for, and it's how they need to look at situations. Don't fear it. Just use it to make your organization the one organization, the one people think of, the one people talk about, the one that has the most loyal customers or clients. And going back to what I was saying, I guess I was flabbergasted the first time I heard someone actually bring the concern that, oh, someone's talking about me, obviously, if they're having this discussion about in their native tongue, and how every person around them who did not speak that language thought the same thing. So fear. Remember, we don't know what we don't know, and what we don't know, we fear. So before I wrap my show up, first of all, I want to thank you for hanging in there with me tonight. I think you definitely learned something, and I hope you can use it, and I hope you will use it in your organization, because these things work. They have worked. I've seen them work, and I put them in place, so I know they do work. And don't forget to send me an email for the Strat That session. And my email address one more time is tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. Again, tlovingsimplified@gmail.com. So join me next week when I'll have another fantastic show for you. But until then, remember, diversity is the link that unites us all. So take a look around and see who you're connected to. It's pretty powerful. Take care. We'll talk soon. Ciao.
Thank you for being a part of Business Liaisons. Connection matters. Be sure to join Treste Loving again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for another show on the Voice America Business Channel. Remember, it's the connections that you make that matter.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.